You're listening to the HR Happy Hour Show with hosts Steve Bowes and Trish McFarland. Since 2009, the HR Happy Hour Show has been bringing you thought leaders, workplace and technology experts, academics, and more to take on the most important and interesting topics impacting work, human resources, technology, and the workplace. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net. HR Happy Hour Show. My name's Steve Bowes. Great to be with you on a cold, rainy, gloomy, depressing January day in Rochester, New York, where I live. I just wrote on the blog yesterday, as a matter of fact, at least as I record this, it was yesterday, about some researchers in the UK had identified the third Monday in January as the most depressing day of the year, called Blue Monday. And based on how the gloom and doom outside my window today, very near Blue Monday, I can see what they mean. It is time to get to a warmer climate. If you are listening to this show in a warmer and sunnier climate, I'm jealous of you. And please invite me to your warm and sunny climate as soon as possible. I will come down. I'll cut the grass. I'll rake the leaves. Whatever you need, done. I'll do anything to get out of the cold and the winter. But so great to be with you on HR Happy Hour. This is HR Happy Hour show number 273, our third one of the new year. Really excited about how things are going so far this year on the HR Happy Hour show. Also, reminder, please check out the other shows on the HR Happy Hour podcast network. They've been publishing crazily, just fantastically good stuff on HR Market Watch, on We're Only Human, and Research on the Rocks coming soon, a new episode coming very soon from Madeline and Molly on Research on the Rocks. So check that out. www.h3hr.com. First of many thanks, of course, to our sponsor Virgin Pulse. So great to be have them with us again in 2017. Check them out at www.virginpulse.com. Lastly, of course, what I care about so much and still open for your submissions, the HR Tech Conference 2017 speaking proposals. By the time you hear this, you might have just a couple more days to get in your speaking proposals. You can learn more about that process and the conference at www.hrtechconference.com. Finally, thanks so much for listening. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for tweeting. Thanks for telling a friend about the show. As always, subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, all of your favorite podcast apps. So, all right, that's it for me. Let's get on with the show. We've got a great guest waiting in the wings. Let me set this up a little bit. A couple of months ago, we did a show called Do You Need a New HR System? What HR Leaders Need to Know. We did it with a gentleman called Dave Fiacco from a company called People Strategy. It was one of the most popular shows of 2016. It did really well. We got great reviews on it, tons of listens and downloads. So, really cool show. And so we thought, hey, let's bring back People Strategy again in 2017, since they did so well in 2016. But this time we've got Randy Cooper, who's the co-chief executive officer of People Strategy, to join us today. As the co-CEO of People Strategy, Randy sets the company's strategic vision and direction based on his in-depth knowledge of human resource and payroll industries, including more than 20 years in executive leadership roles, driven by his commitment to provide service excellence to his clients, business partners, and associates. Randy has excelled in ventures ranging from startups to Fortune 500 companies. Prior to People Strategy, Randy served as the president of the HRMS and payroll division for Salary.com. You know those guys, where he led the successful merger and acquisition of Genesis Software Solutions to create expansion opportunities in the HRMS and payroll market for Salary.com. There's loads more of this bio, Randy. I'm not reading it all. We can just talk about it instead. Please welcome to the show, Mr. Randy Cooper. How are you, Randy?
Thanks, Steve. And you can come on down here to Atlanta anytime you want.
I'm going to tell you.
Sunny today.
I might take you up on that. Well, you had did you get the ice storm, Atlanta Snowmageddon again, version 2, or how'd that work out for you?
Yeah, not like previously. I think it was about an inch or two in Atlanta, but I'm about 100 miles outside of Atlanta as my homestead, so we didn't get anything. We actually just enjoyed the day, so it's kind of strange weather down here, but at least we get very, very nice breaks like this where it's been in the 70s this past week. So
yeah, I'm going to tell you what, I'm going to come down soon. I do have, January is a tough month for me. I usually don't travel too much. I'm here, I'm working on HR Tech and a lot of other things. But yeah, around the midpoint of the month, I am I am ready to go for warmer climates. So hopefully, really, really soon. Hey, Randy, thanks so much for being with us and set up a little bit of why we thought it would be good to have you back based on the conversations we had with Dave last year. But first of all, before we get into sort of HCM in 2017 from your perspective, and I think you've got a really interesting perspective on it, maybe you could just tell us a little bit more for folks who may not know or maybe didn't hear the show with Dave. Tell us a little bit more about PeopleStrategy and what's happening there.
Sure. We deliver a solution called EHCM to the market, specifically to the middle market. We typically our customer size is somewhere between 500 to 1,000 employees, but we have customers up to 8 to 10,000 employees, and some as low as 100 employees. It just really, you know, as you can imagine, in the HR world, it just depends really on each enterprise and how deeply committed they are to the HR initiatives within their organization for how much support they need from an enterprise software perspective. We've had our product in market now for 2 years and have been seeing a lot of great traction. I think that the story and the messaging about what we're trying to do in the market resonates. And I think I didn't listen to Dave's podcast.
Oh, let's not tell Dave that. It was good, I promise you.
Dave and I are very joined at the hip as co-CEOs, and we just we're very yin and yang together and make a great team, but we tend to also look at the market just a little bit different, but it actually is a very copacetic way of doing things. So
Randy, thanks so much for that. Hey, maybe we could talk about that a little bit. So, you know, I don't want to lead you too much. We talked a little bit before the show about some of these ideas, but maybe just from your perspective, let's try to do two things here. Let's talk a little bit about sort of where we're at with HR tech and HCM tech right now in sort of 2017, and not even so much the tech first, but just where we're at with HCM and people management, talent management right now, and then what that means for HR leaders or what it really should mean for HR leaders when they're considering their HR technology platforms, their infrastructure, and their investments. So, I mean,
sure.
Where are we at right now from your perspective? You're working with hundreds of companies and maybe thousands of companies. Where are we at right now in HR and in HCM, right, from your perspective?
Well, I've been in this industry for 30 plus years, so I've seen it swing all over. And it's interesting to try and pick up the nomenclature that everybody uses now. You know, there's HCM 1.0, 2.0, and now everybody's aiming for 3.0.
Right.
And I think, you know, I try and break through all of that because from my perspective, we just change the words. Every 10 years or so, we change all the words. We coin new phrases. They become the hot phrases. But realistically, at the bottom of this, it's about taking care of people. People in your business are your business. And so I look back to the 80s and the early 90s when essentially – any company that really truly was delivering some form of HCM was doing it from a holistic system. You know, we had the Generation One guys, so all of the ones you would know that you know, the Integrals and the Tesserex and the Cyborgs and the Infinium, all the ones that were around in the 80s, they were the Generation One.
Right.
And they did a very good, solid, integrated package of features for the clients: HR, benefits, payroll, retirement planning. There's quite a bit within those solutions, but they were also very hardwired and very hard to use simply because of the state of technology back then.
Sure.
Then we move forward, and what I call kind of the, you know, the internet took the reins off it, obviously, and it let a lot of things happen for the good and the bad. And I think when what I would call Generation 2, which kind of my contribution to Generation 2 was my prior company known as Impagio, or some people would know it as Empower Software, that was recently acquired by Kronos.
Okay.
I had founded that company, and what we saw at that time was, because the internet was really kind of the wild, wild west, we saw a logical transition of certain transactions out to the web. Specifically, the early kind of adopters were benefits enrollment capabilities, some very light employee self-service, and that made sense. And what you saw in 2.0 was you started seeing a fracturing of the enterprise and solution. You started seeing individual silo people, companies coming and providing specific parts of the solution. So that was really the years in the late 90s and the aughts when we saw really a big growth in benefit outsourcing. So everybody would take their benefits and shift it off to a different provider.
Right.
And then we'd see essentially somebody, they'd have an HR solution. Oh, now they'd go maybe get a performance management solution from another provider, and oh, a talent solution from another provider. So we saw these individual silos kind of grow up in the HR space and come out with great functionality.
Yep.
So each one of those silos by themselves had great capabilities that maybe the holistic solutions of the 90s just couldn't quite get.
Yeah,
there.
You start getting into, Randy, I think is you're talking about things like the Taleos of the world and the applicant tracking and the success factors of the world emerging, right, in performance management during that era.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are exactly the kind of players I'm talking about, Steve. And so while individually within a silo, an HR executive could see a performance gain, like maybe now they had really amazing talent acquisition that they didn't have before, where they fell down was suddenly everybody took it for granted what comes by having an integrated system. Suddenly you get into what Dave, my partner, calls spreadsheet hell. They now have 4, 5, 6 different vendors all providing information in their own formats, and you're desperately trying to stitch this information together. And so we see that, and we kind of, at least from my perspective, say, well, guys, now we're kind of swinging back to where maybe we started, at least from an integration perspective, and that we're bringing all of these solutions together, and we're getting the best of the 2.0 generation, and that we're getting greater capabilities because of web technologies that allow us to do cooler and more interesting
right.
things. But honestly, from my perspective, you ask, where are we? That's where we're at. We're at basically IC 3.0. If you want to, you know, use that
sure.
kind of nomenclature to really be 1.0 plus 2.0 or 3.0.
Adds up to more than 3. I love that. I love that way of describing it, though, Randy. That makes a lot of sense, right? And but so hopefully the 3.0, if that's what you want to call it, is even better still, right, than the combination of 1 and 2. Because, hey, I'm with you on – so I came up in some of that era as well. Big ERP and kind of the advantages of having that unified, integrated enterprise set of tools and applications that not just crossed all the HR silos, as you talked about, Randy, but even dabbled into finance and supply chain and inventory management and all those things as well, right? The era of the massive, ERP platform, right? Which kind of got broken up, as you said, right? When these best of breed tools and of course the emergence of software as a service solutions emerged for point solutions in HR, they tended to disrupt at least parts of those legacy players, or at least the penetration those legacy players had in certain companies. But now there's also, as you described, I think there's an impetus or a trend or a desire, maybe, right? Because it was easier in many ways, a desire to get back to some of that, back to those integrated platforms, back to those systems of record that can support an organization across all the silos of HR. So that's really interesting. Great perspective on that, Randy. And it's kind of a different way to think about it that I haven't heard before.
Yeah, and I think, Steve, further, and, if I was talking to, HR executives, and I speak to them quite often, my point is, if coming from that, I was a director of HRIS at a Fortune 500 company in the 80s, so mm-hmm. I've been sitting on that side of the fence. I know the challenges, and one of the problems that we have nowadays, and we see it throughout everything from our political system on down, we now have open communications, and as a result, you're bombarded with information. And if you go to HR Tech or you go to any of the big shows, every year there's some new great thing that's quote unquote going to be part of HCM 3.0. And we go through these fads that, in my opinion, where they are very valid, but they're too early to the game.
Right.
So right now there's a lot of discussion about machine learning and predictive hiring, predictive performance. And I think those are great. And I do absolutely 100% agree that they will happen.
Right.
Will they happen in the next 5 years at any measurable penetration? No. So I would tell HR executives, don't listen to the noise. A very wise man once said to me, take aspirin, not vitamins. In other words, when you have a headache, take an aspirin and you'll feel better. Vitamins are just a lot more difficult to swallow because they might help me 50 years from now live a little bit longer. Yeah. So I would tell HR executives, focus on where is the pain today. And I think what you will find and what I hear consistently is the pain is in having spent 10 years or more now in an extremely siloed environment with best of breed providers and trying to simply get to a point that I know that when I hire somebody, they flow through and they're automatically onboarded into my system and they automatically get their benefits enrollments and it automatically drives into their payroll. That's what they're looking for, is that holistic approach that they don't have to be the bearer of spreadsheets making sure things got from point A to point B. And I do believe that that is the 3.0 variant that we're looking for. It's applying today's modern technologies delivered via a SaaS platform in a holistic way, exploiting and getting us back to where we were in the ERP age, which was a highly integrated system.
Yeah,
that's where I think we're going in the short
term. Yeah, I love it. And this is going to be good, Randy. And let me do a quick reset. My name is Steve Bowes. This is the HR Happy Hour Show. We're talking to Randy Cooper, co-CEO of People Strategy. Randy, I'm going to – see, I can use the 3.0 tagline, though, because that will be eye-catching when we post the show, right? That'll be, ooh, you know, 3.0. People will want to know what this is, so I like it. I like where we're going with this. We're going to – you may even rival – I hope maybe we'll even beat the Dave Show for downloads and listens, I think, the way we're heading right now. So it's good. So
In comments, they'll all be disappointed, Steve, that it wasn't anything revelatory.
We're
trying to get back to where we were.
But let's take us to the second part of what we wanted to talk about today, and I think probably just as important is maybe it's not supposed to be, you know, revelatory or so controversial, right? You mentioned, you know, providers, maybe even you guys too, are starting to make, you know, explorations or doing kind of beta testing of things like predictive hiring and predictive performance and applying artificial intelligence, machine learning approaches to different elements of the HR, HCM management or HCM technology stack. But we're kind of in early days for that. I know, right, Randy, as we speak, as we record this, I'm right in the throes of trying to figure out HR tech for 2017 and, you know, got a couple sniffs on this kind of stuff, but most of the stuff that's coming in around these kind of really highly kind of advanced or kind of bleeding edge topics is really just that, right? It's mostly people wanting to talk about what these things are going to do someday and not so much about what they're doing today. So
exactly.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, that's fun. I want to do a little bit of that at HR Tech as well. But again, but let's bring this back down to the HR leader, you know, today, right? It's early 2017 and maybe you're an HR leader, a business leader at a small, mid-size, maybe even a larger organization, right? You work with organizations of all sizes. Is what are kind of the key things to be thinking about now, right? In light of some of the things you talked about, Randy, and talked about the benefits and the efficiencies that can be gained by the consolidation of these processes in one platform. What are some of the things that HR leaders should be thinking about today when they're examining their HR tech platforms and their potential HR tech investments?
Well, I think, you know, one of the most important things I think that we see out there as we talk to HR executives that are considering and they're evaluating their options. They're looking at where they sit today and where they want to be tomorrow. And one of the biggest failings that I see personally is that if you think about payroll, which is the key, right? Payroll is the key to a company. Every company does payroll and everybody's payroll has to be right.
Yep.
Payroll is so transactional in nature. It's just kind of a fixed beast. I've been in this industry so long and I've seen HR do 180. It's a totally different world in HR and benefits. Payroll's still payroll. Not much has changed in 30 years in payroll. And so I think one of the challenges is that most companies that haven't explored broad HCM yet, their real exposure to technology is typically around payroll and maybe some basic core HR system of record.
Right.
And as a result, they have become very ingrained in their processes and how they work around that extremely transactional component of a broad HCM solution. And so one of the things I like to tell HR executives is just make sure that you don't underestimate what it takes to redefine your HCM function in your company. Because we see companies that think, oh, it's no big deal. We just extract this data. We move this data over there. Hey, payroll works. And they're right on payroll. But what they don't think about is that all of the processes they've done for hiring change when you bring in a talent acquisition solution.
Right.
All of the processes of how they did performance management have the opportunity to be upended and changed and refined and improved. So don't give up. That's where your real gains are. When you make a change, I always have said, once you make a paycheck right, you can't make it any righter. And I think that's why a lot of companies don't, you know, get flustered about moving their payroll. But you know what? We've all been at it so long now. Actually shifting payroll vendors, while a pain, is not nearly what it used to be 20 years ago or so to make that shift. But if you really want to get value out of this new integrated HCM solution that you're buying, you need to make sure that your vendor works with you up front to really kind of record your current business processes, what your current state is of how your data flows, et cetera, and be open to looking at ways to do it differently and find better performance through better processes. And I think sometimes that kind of gets low-sheeted on the understanding the ROI of these things. I think that companies underestimate the amount of change and change management that has to be done in your organization that may be, you know, set in its ways, having maybe, run a very simplistic core HR payroll system for a long time.
Yeah, Randy, I think you're right on that. A couple of years ago, we started thinking about these topics a little bit more at HR Tech when it came to my mind, at least, that, whether it's HCM 1.0, 2.0, or now 3.0, the challenges in change management, in process redesign, in driving adoption, none of those really changed much. The technology changed plenty. The delivery options for that technology is completely different today than it was, you know, back then. But the impact on the organization, on the people, on the processes, kind of didn't really change that much. And I think there was a wave of time as we we're taking this walk through sort of a little bit of HR and HR tech history. But there was a little wave of time where we kind of thought, or we got maybe deceived by this idea that, hey, these modern tools kind of were self-implementing, right? You just signed up, put in your email address, maybe swiped a credit card, and they just worked. And that kind of didn't prove to be true, especially for, you know, an organization of any size, right? 100 people, 200 people or so or more, right? That the amount of changes you described was significant and important and underestimated often. I think that's changing now. I think folks have sort of realized that, you know, software as a solution services, you know, don't magically fix everything, right? But it's important to factor in, and it's important for HR leaders to be thinking about when they're assessing technology. Are you having those conversations with the vendor, or is the vendor really just, you know, trying to give you solutions and convince you that in 3 weeks you'll be live and everything will be great? And I think that's an important conversation that HR leaders need to have.
Yeah, and you know what, Steve, I think the other thing that I would point out is when I look back over the years of what's changed, I like to say that the systems that we had in generation 1.0, you know, they were used by 99% of the population didn't use the system. It was used by 1%.
Right.
It was used by the HR administrators.
Yep.
And, you know, in 2.0, when we went to siloed, we started to hand that out a little bit more, because things like 360 performance reviews and stuff engage the employees in certain features and functions at certain times that they needed to do those. And
right.
Obviously we had the basic self-service for looking at your pay stubs, or, you know, which is just a one-sided transaction.
Yeah, or change your address, which you did once every 5 years,
yeah,
maybe, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I think what we're now seeing, and what I always stress in our design, is that I want 99% of my end users to be able to get everything they need from their mobile device. And
oh, okay.
In the case I use the 80-20 rule. At 99% should be able to get 80% of what they need from their mobile device. The only reason that they can't get it from the mobile device should be that it needs more real estate. Maybe it's a more complex transaction that they need to do a lot of typing, and the phone just isn't the right device.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then they should be able to promote, if you will, to the next largest form factor, a tablet of some type, and they should be able to accomplish 80% of their remaining 20% work there. it should, by that definition, you get a very small inflow of things that actually have to get to the HR professionals to do. They become more of the gatekeeper, monitoring, approving, making sure that things are being done the way they want by their field. And I think that that alone frees up the HR executives to deal with what we just talked about. Truly understand what are better business processes that I can put in to improve my business. And it's a bit cliche because everybody talks about, you know, having a strategic seat at the table. But I honestly think what's prevented HR from having that strategic seat? It's because every week the head guy's got to be heads down, making sure that his payroll came out right, making sure that all of his interfaces went where they were supposed to, that his benefits got processed properly. So ultimately, there's so much grunt work occurring in the back office, you know, up to this point, there hasn't been enough hours in the day to truly sit down, take a deep breath, and be strategic. And I believe that the current generation of software that we're seeing out there, a lot of the new vendors that are coming on the market with this kind of larger, more integrated solution are providing that to those executives. With one caveat I would give, we have to always understand that there are always trade-offs that happen. So when these, you know, many of these solutions, even including ours, that have only been in market for 2-3 years, they're very robust, but there are always going to be more things that you want as an HR executive in that solution that aren't there yet. And that's part of the partnering with your vendor, making sure that your vendor sees the things that you see that can improve the overall product, and that they're committed to that continual R&D to add in those additional features, not specific to you, but features that that can continue to make it a more robust solution.
Yeah, that's such an important point, Randy. And I know I've spent a little bit of time thinking about this, did a little bit of writing about this as well. It's sort of about, you know, matching, or at least feeling, I don't know, like, I can't think of the right word, but you feel like your vision about the future, your vision about HCM, where it's going, 3.0, 4.0, or whatever, does the vendors that you choose to work with, particularly the really important ones, the really strategic partners that your organization is thinking about or is elected to bring on board, do your visions sort of, are they in alignment? Do you feel like they kind of see the world as an important, see the world moving in the same kind of ways you do? And so those things, I think you're hinting at this, and if you're not, I apologize, it'll put words in your mouth. But I believe anyway that that's more important than an individual, you know, widget on a page or a button on a form or, one little piece of functionality that may or may not be there today, but it's coming. I think the alignment of vision is really, really important. And then, of course, is the second part of this, and you can speak to this a little bit more, Andy, is the vendor's ability and track record of delivering on these things, right? I think it's really important to understand when you're sitting down with a potential new vendor or thinking about breaking up with an existing vendor, quite frankly, is to think about their track record and their history of delivering on the things that they say they're going to do over time, like any other business partner. That's really, really important. Hey, Randy, one last thing maybe. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah. Let me just tag on to that a little bit, because I absolutely agree. And I think, though, that, you know, one of the big challenges that HR executives have today is the fact that in prior to the SaaS world, your relationship with your vendor was much different. Mm-hmm. It was really a product relationship, which means that you looked at the product. If you liked the product, you bought the product, you put the product in your shop, installed it on your infrastructure, your people managed it, and you just had to deal with, you know, frequent upgrades and those type of things from the vendor.
And patches. Don't forget patches.
And patches, but let's be honest, in the day and age that I grew up in with waterfall, I'm a geek by background, so back in the waterfall days, I mean, things took a long, long time to come to fruition. And in today's, you know, very rapid-paced SaaS world, where we can pretty much, you know, do a release a day if we want to.
Right.
I think that, you know, the key is you're now in a service relationship. So it's much more of a marriage. And I don't know that people understand that, especially HR executives that have been, that this isn't their first rodeo, and they maybe have had PeopleSoft or one of the other ERPs, and they're shifting now to a pure SaaS model. They have to understand that they are giving up some control. And because they're now going to really, really be in a partnership with that vendor, I cannot stress enough how important it is to actually look that vendor in the eye during the sales cycle and feel comfortable that they have your back, that they're there for you. As Dave always likes to say, the measure of your vendor isn't when everything's going right. The measure of your vendor is when everything's going wrong. We're realists. We are going to mess things up. We are going to make mistakes. We will have bugs. That is the nature of software and the nature of a very complex, legislatively driven application like we have. And so it's important that when we stress to our clients is judge us not just on the days that we're all patting each other on the back and we're happy and everything's great, but on the days when we screw something up.
Yeah.
How do we react? How quickly do we fix it? Do we have your back to make sure that it's resolved and communicated and all of those things? And I think that's what it's kind of the word everybody throws around, but it's service. And it's the service culture, and it's ensuring that your vendor is going to have your back the moment something goes wrong, and you're not going to get stuck in somebody's phone tree somewhere.
Yeah, that's such an important point, Randy. I was just talking with someone. I won't name them on the show because I don't. This was not a conversation for broadcasting, but it was someone from one of the really, really big players in the space. And that's what we were talking about, the importance of service in terms of, hey, once you get down to certain functions and these technologies are maturing, as you said, Randy, you can roll out new functions and features every day if you wanted to. And at the high end of the market anyway, for sure, and probably even at the midpoint of the market as well, there's kind of a convergence of functionality across providers, or maybe said differently, they're not all that different, right? I mean,
yep.
So
yep.
The evaluation criteria becomes, as you said, things like partnership, things like vision, things like service, right? Things like, hey, do I trust that this organization, this partner I'd like to bring in as an important partner, someone who's going to provide technology that every one of my employees will use, right? I can't think of many things that are more important than that. More vendors or providers to an organization of that, right? I mean, maybe just the catering provider for the cafeterias, that maybe is the next most important. But seriously, that strategic partnership that you're willing to form with an organization that you're going to trust with putting technology that they're going to blame you for, by the way. They're not going to blame the vendor, right? They may not, if you roll out a bad employee self-service portal, they're probably not going to blame, vendor X is such a terrible provider of self-service. They're going to say, boy, our HR department or our IT department doesn't know what they're doing, right? That's what they're going to say. And it's such an important thing. And I love how we're not really talking about buttons and features and things like that. We're really talking about some of the other things that HR leaders really need to consider when they're considering making investments in technology and partnering with companies. That's so important. And I'm glad, I've said it a couple times, but it's worth repeating. And I'm glad you touched on some of those points too, Randy.
You hit the nail on the head, Steve. I mean, at the end of the day, HCM systems, they all match up 95% if you want to do a checkbox war.
Right.
Always get into the configuration components of, can you handle some crazy union dues issue that I have, or whatever the case may be. You come into those. But the fact is, when you look at the vast majority of the features and functions, they're generally going to be fairly close. So it's going to become a lot of these, as hard as it is to believe, because you're buying what you think is software, but in reality, again, delivered in a service model, the question are all of the intangibles, and you just have to make sure you weigh those out.
Yeah, love it, Randy, love it. Hey, this has been a great conversation. We could go on for a while. I mean, I don't know why we, had you guys back on the show. I mean, you guys are killing it. First Dave, now yourself. It's great. Hey, one last thing. We're going a little long, but I don't care. You got a couple more minutes, I hope, Randy. One last thing. What are some of the places or the methods that you recommend for folks to just, and I think about this a lot too, but I'd love your opinion on it. Where HR leaders can go, and what can they do to become a little bit better informed HR tech consumers? That's something I think about a lot, and I try to provide a lot of resources and content as well. But what's your thoughts on that in terms of just becoming better educated and better consumers of HR tech?
Well, I think there's definitely some very good groups on LinkedIn where there are good conversations, and no question asked is a bad question. So I would always encourage HR executives to peruse those boards and ask questions where they can. I think obviously HR Tech is a great show to walk around, see what's out there. Again, understand that a lot of the things you're going to see there aren't necessarily going to be directly relevant today.
Right.
And some of them are kind of reaches, but you will see many, many executives, and especially in the sessions, you will hear a lot of good information that can help you, you know, refine your thoughts about where you really want to take your HR function. So I think those are very, very valuable resources. The one that I really would like to see get more traction in the mid-market, and I think it's starting to, but it's always been a pricing challenge, is more the advisor role. I do see a lot more advisor-sourced deals.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know a lot of those guys. I like the small little boutiques. There's a lot of guys out there that it's, you know, it's a relatively small advisory group, and they usually are guys that came up as practitioners in the space, and they know the pitfalls, and they can be there to help you make a good selection. Saying that, I would also tell HR executives, steer away from RFPs. In my opinion, RFPs are just a waste of paper and time for you and for the vendor, and you know, it's a fee generator in many cases for an analyst, an advisor. And ultimately, I think it's like anything else. You learn more just by asking questions, being present, talking to your peers, finding out what other people are doing. I think you can get so much more valid information than you can from a checkbox or on an RFP.
Hey, your lips to the Lord's ears there, that one, man. I'm with you all the way on that. No, and that's a whole other story for another day. But, Randy, that was, you know, super helpful, and appreciate you shout out for the HR Tech Conference as well. That was not a leading question. I wasn't hoping you'd say that, but I'm glad you did. But, yeah, I'm with you on the RFPs for sure. From being sitting on every side of those RFPs myself in my career, I never want to see another one again, hopefully. But, hey, Randy, this was so much fun. I appreciate you taking the time today to join us. Of course, you can learn more about what's happening at People Strategy at www.peoplestrategy.com. There's also a blog on the People Strategy site as well. We'll link to that when we post the show. Randy, any final thoughts? Anything else you want to mention before we let you go on this cold, clammy, rainy January day?
No, Steve, I'm very happy to chat with you today. It was enjoyable, and I'm going to grab my fishing pole and go out and see if I catch
you. Good. I'll come see you soon, hopefully, down in sunny Atlanta. So thanks so much, Randy Cooper, co-CEO of People Strategy, for joining us today. Real quick before I let everyone go and get back to your lives today, thanks so much again to Virgin Pulse, www.virginpulse.com, our sponsor of the HR Happy Hour show, great supporters of the show. We thank them so much. Thanks, of course, Randy at People Strategy for coming on today, and the folks at People Strategy for putting on the show. Thank you guys for listening. Great start to 2017 on the HR Happy Hour show. Check out the network. Check out all the other shows. Subscribe. Do everything. iTunes, Stitcher Radio. I'm going to read it all again. You know how to find us. You know how to find us by now. Tell a friend. You know, listen while you're on the treadmill or whatever you got to do. So thanks so much for listening to the HR Happy Hour show. My name's Steve Bowes. We will see you next time. Bye for now. Thanks for listening to the HR Happy Hour show, your source for information and conversation on work, the workplace, technology, and more. Learn more and listen to all the show archives at www.hrhappyhour.net.